This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Okay, let's get some opinions on a couple of things happening in Lansing with our Friday commentators. Vicki Barnett is a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. And Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. He joins us by Skype. It looks like legalizing marijuana for recreational use will be on the ballot in November. And if the polls are correct, more than 60% of voters are okay with recreational use of pot. This week, the It's Just Politics team talked about how Republicans, even some of those who don't like the idea of legalizing marijuana, might go ahead and pass it in the legislature anyway. The idea is to give progressive voters one less reason to go to the polls in the fall. Vicki, politically, does that make sense?
Once in a while, it does make sense. I think the legislative reasoning this year is quite off. Progressives have every reason in the world to continue to turn out at the polls. And in fact, at the Democratic endorsement convention last weekend, we had over 6,500 delegates show up to cast ballots for endorsing Secretary of State candidate, Supreme Court candidates, and the Attorney General candidate. So I don't think there's much that can be done to stop progressives and activists from showing up at the polls this year.
How does that number compare to conventions of a similar nature?
Well over double.
Oh, wow. Ken, what do you think of this maneuver by the legislature or this proposal?
Well, what's kind of given some impetus to it is what Republican legislators did in 2006 and 2014 dealing with minimum wage, where in both cases, both years, you had ballot initiatives, signatures being gotten to put this on the ballot, and Republican legislature said, look, let's just pass a minimum wage increase and keep it off the ballot so you don't have that kind of turnout. I don't think they're going to do that this year on this recreational use of marijuana. These are very different issues. And, you know, the minimum wage, I mean, you already had a minimum wage, and the debate was, you know, should it be raised? But recreational use of marijuana is just a much, much bigger issue that I think resonates more with conservatives in primaries for Republicans, meaning they'd be against it. So I just think it's an apples and oranges comparison. And I agree with Vicki. I think this concept that you are worried about turnout, there's going to be a fairly high Democratic turnout anyway for all kinds of reasons. You know, the increased turnout because of recreational use of marijuana being on the ballot is just going to be on the margins, I think.
I'll just say, I wonder if the Republicans are overthinking this one. I know a lot of middle-aged and older Republican voting citizens who are enthusiastic about legalizing pot, so this bit of politics by the Republican legislators just might be a miscalculation in my view. It looks like the standards for an election recount might be changing. In 2016, even though she lost in a big way, the Green Party's presidential candidate, Jill Stein, asked for and got a recount of the Michigan vote after Michigan went for Donald Trump. Legislation would require a candidate to prove they have a reasonable chance at winning before getting a recount if this legislation is passed and signed. Vicki, what do you make of that proposed standard?
Well, I think that every candidate should be able to request a recount should he or she wish one. The question is the cost of the recount, who's going to pay for it, and the likely outcome in the Jill Stein case, it was somewhat frivolous, but we learned a lot about how to protect the ballots, how to fix ballot boxes when there were problems in the voting. I can't remember the exact number, but a lot of precincts in Detroit were unrecountable, and in other parts of the state, they couldn't be recounted either. So we've learned a lot, and I don't want to discount that and the right of individuals who put their name on the ballot to request whatever is available to them. The cost, however, is really an issue because the cost falls upon the state or the local jurisdiction should the cost be too low to not actually capture the true value of what it costs to do a recount. In that case, I'm fully in favor of doubling the recount cost in cases where there is 5% or more discrepancy between the winners and the losers in terms of vote total. And that bill sailed through this week as well, and that one makes the cost of a recount much more expensive but much more realistic to take the onus off of the voting public.
Ken, right now, all you have to do is claim that there might have been mistakes or believe there was fraud. That 2016 recount, as Vicky was talking about, showed some weaknesses in our voting system. What do you think of this legislation?
Well, Jill Stein, back in 2016, got less than 2% of the vote in Michigan, and she forced a recount, which, you know, the cost of which really fell mostly on local jurisdictions rather than the state. So this bill going through the legislature and apparently going to the governor's desk to, you know, make some correction, I think is a good bill. You don't want to make recounts too onerous, but I just think what she did was so irresponsible that it's got to be corrected. The taxpayers shouldn't be paying for frivolous recounts.
Do either of you know how this compares to other states?
No.
No, I don't. I mean, you know, most of these recounts,
that question.
Well, I mean, we
most of
know.
These are going to be at the local level, or they're going to be for, you know, smaller races, not presidential races. They're not, most of them aren't going to be statewide. They're going to be state rep, state senate, county commission. And, you know, you might have close votes there. I mean, when I got elected in 86, there were some very close elections. And I talked to a state rep who got elected a couple years earlier who won by 5 votes. So, like I said, you don't want to make the process for recounts onerous. But what Jill Stein forced taxpayers to do in Michigan a couple years ago was just irresponsible.
It was not only irresponsible, it was an egregious misuse of the process. And I think that's what people are reacting to. I personally remember losing a state Senate primary in 2014 by 117 votes out of hundreds thousands cast. So it is disappointing when one loses, but you still have to look at the practicality of triggering a recount. Do you really have a shot at making up all of those votes or not? But I've also seen cases where in a recount for a local election, you end up with a tie and you have to figure out who the real winner is. And sometimes you actually have to pick a name out of a hat.
Or as I saw in one case, a sheriff's race in 1986, they flipped a coin.
Well, same thing as pulling a name out of a hat. Yep.
That is Vicky Barnett, a former Democratic legislator. We also heard from Ken Sikkema, a former Republican legislator. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Lester.